This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Out of six candidates in last month's city election, a third of the votes in District 8 went to Cynthia Brehm. In second place, businessman Manny Pelaez received 27% of the vote. Transportation, public safety, and protecting natural resources are documented concerns on both candidates' platforms for District 8. But how will each candidate bring, what will they bring to the San Antonio City Council? How will a new leader for District 8 affect development on the north side? We're joined by both the candidates in the runoff, Cynthia Brehm and Manny Pelaez, to take your calls and ask for your vote or your moral support if you don't live in District 8. We flipped a coin earlier to establish who will go first in talking, giving their opening remarks. Manny Pelaez went first. And then after that, we'll alternate on who goes first with the questions. Now, to call in with your questions, we'd love to have you. Call in. The number is 210-614-8980. We like questions that are open-ended, not directed solely at one candidate. Only one candidate can answer, so try and make them so that both candidates can give a response. The number again, 210-614-8980. Also, candidates, if your opponent tries to characterize you or your positions, we try to give the other candidate an opportunity to respond in order to make sure that is fair. So let's get started now. And with Manny Pelaez, go ahead and give us your opening remarks for 2 minutes. Explain to who you are and why you're running.
Sure. Thanks, first of all, to TPR and KSTX and you for inviting us and putting on this this radio show and letting us explain our different positions. I saw an opportunity about, many months ago for me to throw my hat in the ring. And because I saw that San Antonio could use solutions and could use some experience, some expertise on city council, on top of what they have already got there. And I looked at the experience and the expertise that I bring to the table, and I thought, you know, here's an opportunity to help, right? And one of the things that I teach my children is always help whenever and whenever you can't, whenever you can. And then number two, lead out front, lead out loud, and do important things. And so I've figured I might as well do what it is I teach them, and I saw an opportunity to show my children also what leadership looks like. And so I'm a dad, as I've mentioned. I'm a husband, I'm a lawyer, I own a business, and I've dedicated my career to helping out homeowners, homeowners associations, nonprofits. I'm the general counsel for the Battered Women and Children's Shelter. I was the very first person that Toyota Motor Manufacturing ever hired as their in-house counsel. I've served on VIA. I was the chairman of Brook City Base, and to this day, I'm called upon by the county and the city to help them with resolving serious issues that require expertise and experience to be brought to bear on those issues. I've got a pretty good track record of success. I've got a track record of accomplishments, and I've managed to also learn a lot of lessons throughout the 43 years that I've been doing this, and so I'm happy to be running for District 8, and I'm happy to be with you.
Okay, now let's open the floor to Cynthia Brehm, and welcome to TPR and The Source, and tell us why you're running for City Council.
I'm running for City Council because I want to be a voice for the people here in District 8. The people demand transparency, they demand accountability, and they want someone that will truly represent the district, and I want to be that voice. I have an extensive background in community service, working with nonprofit organizations within the military system. I have a 30-year career in marketing and advertising, in which it has an impeccable track record of results. Every company I've ever worked for, I was in the top three, if not the number one representative. And I'm one of those type A personalities that is results oriented, that really wants to get out there and serve the people. I'm retired now. My husband is deployed. He's in Afghanistan. My children are military children, and they're scattered around the country, so I have absolutely no distractions. I can dedicate myself to District 8 and give them the kind of representation that they desire. And that is my goal, is just to serve the people. I want to just say that I know that our community is focused on transportation. They're focused on public safety. They're focused on their taxes, you know, increasing. And I have solutions to these things. So as a council representative, I can bring the kind of talent that this particular seat requires, and I'm ready to devote myself to work for the people.
All right, let's go now to the questions, and we'll start off with you, Cynthia Brim, to get your response, and then we'll go over to Manny to also get his 1 minute each. So we got an email, some email questions, and here's one. Brooks Air Force Base and Kelly Air Force Base were shut down by the federal government, and we lost a lot of jobs. What can you and the city council do to prevent another one of our military bases from being placed on the BRAC list? And Cynthia Brim.
Well, actually, if the federal government decides they're going to do something, there's really not a whole lot you can do. There really isn't. Right now, I know that our government is downsizing, trying to reduce costs, and it's up to our congressmen, it is up to our state legislature to lobby our government and representatives to vote a certain way. And so what we need to do as a city is focus on what we have. We are a unique city that is positioned within the continental United States. We're the only city that has two major thoroughfares that goes through the city, 10 and I-35. So that's very unique. Our climate is very unique. We have great weather here. We have a very diverse population, and so we need to focus on what we have to offer as opposed to being reactive to what the government's going to do, but what we have to offer as a community.
Okay, now Manny Pelias.
Sure, this is an example of where experience and expertise comes into play. I worked very closely with the Joint Committee at the state legislature, both committees headed up by Leticia Van Depute and the other one by Jose Menendez when he was a state rep. There is a lot we can do, and we can be very aggressive to avoid San Antonio bases being placed on the BRAC list, which is just an acronym for base realignment and closure. We did it. In fact, some of our bases have been in the past on BRAC lists, and San Antonio can invest in infrastructure around and adjacent to these bases. Additionally, one of the things that we ended up doing was helping fund childcare on base that was not paid by the federal government. And so the idea behind aggressive approaches to avoiding BRAC is really to make San Antonio as sticky as possible for these missions so that it'll hurt for them to want to leave and entice them to stay here.
Okay, let's take a caller, and Josh has called in. The number to call in, if you got a question for our candidates, 210-614-8980. Josh, welcome to The Source, and you're on the air.
Hi. My question relates to unincorporated Bexar County. We're actually just outside of District 8, and I'm curious, two parts. First, thoughts on annexation, and second, we are reliant on utilities from San Antonio, both SAWS and CPS. And when we have issues with one or the other, we understand that the only way to resolve that is to go through our council member, which we're not a constituent. So I'm curious to know what unincorporated Bexar County near your district can count on from either of you, and in the event that annexation comes up, how you would view that.
Thanks. Okay. Okay, that's a good question. What we're going to do right now is we're going to take a break, and we're going to get our response from that. So, Josh, hang on if you want to hear on the air, and we'll come back with the answer. Mm-hmm. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. District 8 residents will choose between Cynthia Brim and Manny Pelias to fill the open seat on District 8 in the City Council, and who will represent them for the all of San Antonio as well. And so we had a question before we went to break asking about annexation, and for people who don't live outside of the city of San Antonio, how that can be frustrating for them, but they're not annexed. So, and Manny Pelias, you're first up to answer that question.
Sure. I've had the opportunity to talk to stakeholders who want to be annexed and others who don't. There, believe it or not, there are people out there who are looking to be annexed because of the additional benefits and emergency services and city services that could be brought to them. The frustrations are that expressed by the people who aren't being annexed are that, well, they don't want to be, and that they moved specifically outside of city limits so that they wouldn't be subjected to city taxes. However, when you do call their attention to the fact that, you know, the city does have benefits that they enjoy and they don't pay taxes for, then I think the intellectual reaction that I get is, well, yeah, you're right. For example, they drive on City of San Antonio roads. They rely on City of San Antonio police coverage and fire coverage while they're in City of San Antonio. When on the weekends people come to visit them from out of town, they spend a lot of time visiting the Alamo and the urban core. And so I've always thought that if you're using benefits, that you ought to be paying for them. That isn't to say that I don't understand the frustrations. And what we need to do is be very sensitive to those frustrations.
All right, Cynthia Brim.
Well, first and foremost, Governor Abbott has already said himself that he opposes big metropolitan cities annexing into the city for just the sake of getting extra revenue. And he also said that if the city cannot provide basic essentials such as emergency service, fire, and also police safety, then they have no business annexing these cities just for the sake of annexing them to get the revenue. I side with the homeowners. Texas has historically been big on property rights, and I stand firmly with them that if the city can't even provide it, which they can't right now, even for the citizens that live here in San Antonio, they're short by 224 police officers, then how in the world are we going to annex these other little communities that surround us? So I side with them. If the city cannot provide the services, they have no business annexing them.
All right, let's go to another caller, and this is Andy. Andy, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hello, thank you for taking my call. My name is Andy. I actually moved to the district about 4 years ago. One of the things that I really liked about this part of town, the northwest part of town, was that it was very culturally diverse. You know, I can have different types of food, lots of different grocery stores, and I guess this question really goes out to both of you. There's been a lot of allegations saying that Ms. Brim made some, you know, pretty harsh comments towards Syrian refugees on Facebook. There's been articles about it and things like that. Now is a chance, you know, me and my neighbors, we really want to get clarification on that. You know, how do you really feel about that situation?
Okay. Andy, thank you for the call. So candidate Cynthia Brim.
Andy, thank you for bringing up this question. I really appreciate that. This particular comment that I made was made in light of the refugees that were coming in to the United States, and the State Department had warned President Obama about the terrorists that were taking advantage of the situation where these refugees were coming in, and they said, do not let them in. But President Obama decided that he wanted to go ahead and let everybody in, whether there were terrorists in them or not. So as a citizen, I said, no, send them back. No, don't. I'm concerned about the Americans that are here and their safety. And I was in agreement with what the FBI said and also the CIA in opposing that. And so it was completely taken out of context.
Okay. All right. So Manny Pelaez, your reaction to that?
Sure. I'll let Ms. Brim's words speak for themselves. However, we're forgetting one of the more important comments that was made on those Facebook posts, and that was her lamenting that a lot of these folks weren't going to be learning the language and assimilating fast enough, and that we would have to pay for that, and that's why they should go home. And that, you know, sometimes we ought to even exercise our Second Amendment rights against some of these refugees. Those were said. You're all welcome to go to my Facebook page. They're up there. You can't unring a bell. You basically said something really, really, really ugly about the refugees that live in our district. Our district is the most diverse district in San Antonio. You know, 30,000 Muslims live in District 8. And the three large mosques are in District 8. Those people are related to many of these refugees, and they can tell you that some of these people are escaping the worst of the worst conditions on the planet, being gassed, being shot, being beheaded. And to come here and be unwelcomed by what would arguably be one of the next city leaders is just abhorrent.
Okay, I'm going to give you a chance to respond to that since he was characterizing your position, Cynthia Brim. Do you want to respond?
Sure. He's a lawyer. You know, you can take anything and You can say the sky is blue, and he can say, oh, no, it's blue-green. You can take anything out of context, okay? And I stand by what I said, and he can say what he wants because he's falling behind. He's trying to throw pot shots to get a reaction out of me. So, you know, I stand by what I said.
Okay, well, then I got to give him a chance to respond then, because are you taking pot shots? Is this a desperate attempt because you're falling behind Manny Pelaez?
Well, first of all, I'm not falling behind. Second, I have I do believe that San Antonio is the city of diversity. We celebrate that. We're also the city of sanctuary. You know, hundreds of years ago, we had people seeking sanctuary in this city, and we're known for that. We're iconic for that. We're also the city that claims to be the city of dignity and respect. And so I don't think that bringing up dignity and respect issues is irrelevant potshotting. I think it speaks to character.
Okay, let's go to another caller. Michael is on the line, and we'll, Cynthia Brim will give you a chance to respond to this one first. And Michael, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
I really do not want to make any changes to the Alamo. I do not want any changes of the Alamo. I wanted to know how these two candidates feel about changing the Alamo. Thank you.
All right, Michael, thank you for the call. And so, Cynthia Brim, this is really something the city council has a lot of control over. So talk about where you are on making adjustments, redesign of the Alamo.
Well, I was asked how I felt about that originally before they came up with these plans. And I said I'd like to leave it just as it is, that I didn't want to impact what was already established. And so the city decided they were going to make changes, and I wasn't part of that decision-making process, and they're making changes. And so some of the things that they're doing, like wanting to put it in a glass sidewalk and a glass wall, a lot of residents have complained about not wanting that. So I think we all need to get actively involved and, you know, speak out about what it is that we do want and what we don't want. I know they've had public hearings, and they've tried to listen to what citizens want, and what they came up with is the plan. So in answer to your question specifically, I opposed any changes in the first place.
All right. Let's go to Manny Pelaez. What are your reaction to what's happening with the Alamo redesign? What would you do if you run city council?
That redesign plan is very ambitious. And I think it's the product of hundreds of hours of public input and subject matter expertise as far as firms that know how to enhance historic, iconic projects. But let's not forget that this is a UNESCO treasure. It's really important. We got to do the best we possibly can to make sure that the UNESCO treasure Alamo experience is as enhanced as possible and is as valuable as possible. If you go to the Alamo Plaza today, across the street from the Alamo, there really is a lot of silliness. There's a lot of plastic experiences across the street that really don't do honor to what the Alamo is and what the Alamo stands for. And so long as the Alamo is being honored and enhanced, I'm okay with it. And I like the plan. I think it's very forward thinking.
All right. Let's get another question from our email. This is the fire. Let me go to Manny first on this. The fire union and police union contract have been very hot topics for issues and debate. Doesn't seem like this debate is going to end anytime soon. What experience do you have to bring to the table to help the mayor and the city council resolve the labor contract issue? We know that the police contract has been solved. The fire contract is still outstanding, and that needs to be dealt with. So, Manny.
So there's two words in that question that I think pop out to me. Number one is labor, and number two is experience, right? So I'm a labor and employment attorney by training. To this day, I'm called upon by unions and large employers, some of the largest employers and unions throughout the country, to help them break through labor and employment impasses. I'm a AAA arbitrator, and I've been watching very closely this union labor agreement negotiation between the city. And I think that the only solution is going to be to get calm people who show up in good faith to the negotiating table and who understand that the only way they're going to get a deal is if both parties walk away a little bit unhappy. In the world of labor and in the world of breaking through impasses, if both parties are willing to sacrifice something and both willing to walk out of there knowing that they left a little bit on the table, then it's a good deal.
Now, Cynthia Brim, where do you think ought to happen with what do you think ought to happen with San Antonio's fire contract?
Well, first and foremost, I believe that our fire department and police officers deserve every penny that they get. Why? Because they are the ones that are putting themselves in the line of fire, or if someone is doing something such as burglarizing our home, they're the ones that are going to get right in the midst of everything to protect us. And so they fight a very different battle domestically, but it's the same kind of battle that our veterans fight. So I believe that they deserve every penny. I think that we need to work together. As far as experience, what I think needs to happen is someone like me, who has 30 years in negotiating contracts, being a mediator between a company and another business, that can get in the midst of it and truly represent the people involved to negotiate that. That is what you need, is someone like me with 30 years of experience in negotiating contracts.
All right, let's go to Edward. He's on the line. The number is 210-614-8980. Edward, welcome to The Source. You're on the air, and go ahead and ask your question.
Yes, this is for both candidates. What it is that the city has their view for multimodal transportation. So my question's not concerning the city view. What I'm talking about is a regional transportation plan. Now, one of our organizations, the Alamo Area MPO, they have a very important say in the regional transportation plan. And what it is if you look online for board members, city council districts are represented on the MPO. But it's skewed to a certain side of town. My question is would you, if you're elected, be willing to apply to be on the MPO for the Alamo area?
All right, Edward, thank you for the question. Cynthia Brim, you're first.
Sure, I'd apply to be on the MPO. If I'm eligible as a city council representative, absolutely. The people need a voice. The people have voted not once but twice against light rail, yet you can go to the SA Tomorrow plan and you can see light rail is in the works. And then also they're looking at enhancing VIA and making more trips, which is what we really need in the city. They need to be more timely. And if they were more timely, I think more people would use the bus system. But as it is, it doesn't work. So I would be more focused on representing the people and getting our voice in to the midst of the Alamo Metropolitan Planning Organization, as well as any other areas that I could be involved in.
All right. Now, Manny Pelaez, would you join the MPO if you had a chance?
Sure, I would, and that would mean that it would be the second time I serve on that board. I have already served on that board once. I served as a trustee of the Advanced Transportation District, and I was an appointed trustee of VIA for the county. Under my watch, we ended up developing what is now really looking like a successful bus rapid transit. The MPO is going to be essential to us because as the city continues to grow, the MPO is going to have to work with Guadalupe County, for example, and some of the surrounding counties on coming up with a regional, multimodal, and a multinodal approach to transportation. Not only do we need more frequency in bus ridership, like Cynthia suggests, but we also need what worldwide experts agree is walkability, livability, we need to make sure that we pull from every lever of the modality. And every lever, I mean, not just buses, but rideshare. And not just rideshare, but bike share, walkability, and even rail is going to become a topic that we're going to have a difficult conversation about.
Okay, we'll talk about rail probably when we come back from this break. We ask people to call in. If you've got a question or a comment, the number is 210-614-8980. We've got the two runoff candidates for District 8 with us this afternoon, Cynthia Brim and also Manny Pelaez. And if you got a question or a comment, you can also email us at thesource@tpr.org. We'll be right back after this quick break. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. District 8 has a chance to vote in a new city council member. Their old city council representative, Ron Nuremberg, is running for mayor, so he can't run for re-election. That made an open seat, and we had the election on May the 6th. We had six candidates. Now we're down to two. with the runoff. We've got Cynthia Brehm with us. She had a third of the votes, and right behind her, Manny Pelias came in, and so they're in the runoff, and they're here to take your questions this afternoon. The number is 210-614-8980. What questions do you have for the candidates who want to represent District 8 in the City Council? 210-614-8980. We got an email question, and it was we know that the legislature just passed the bathroom bill. This is a bill which is discriminatory against transgender folks being able to use the bathroom of the choosing, and it's requiring them to use the bathroom of their according to their birth documents. So how do you stand on the birth on the bathroom bill, and where do you think, if there's anything that the San Antonio City Council can do to represent that legislation? Cynthia Brehm.
Well, I support the bathroom bill largely because I'm a grandmother, I'm a mother, and I have children, and I just don't like the idea of men going into the bathroom where women go. I happen to have three children that are gay, and they don't have a problem going into the designated bathroom of their birth. And so I think for safety, which was the big issue, that is what we need to focus on. And because I know that there are some people out there that are taking advantage of this and saying that they're transgender and they're going in and they're abusing that, and they're taking videos and pictures and what have you, and walking by and looking at women through the cracks and making a lot of women uncomfortable. So I know that this is happening, so I support the bathroom bill.
All right, Manny Pelias.
I believe the government is here to solve problems that exist. I have a long and deep relationship with SAPD and law enforcement here in town, and I ask them frequently, "Hey, when's the last time you guys had a problem with somebody, you know, going into the bathroom whose gender doesn't match the little sign on the door?" And they basically say, "You know, never." And so, despite anecdotes and that you see on Facebook, I trust the experts. Number one, number two, they express it. Very serious concerns about enforceability, right? How is it you're going to enforce? I mean, are you going to check people's genitals on the way in, or ask them to prove their gender? And then third, I really wish our state legislature would focus on problems with the same kind of zeal that include job creation, traffic abatement, water sourcing, and maybe even economic development. And if I saw them working just as hard on that, maybe I would take these efforts on a straw man problem a little more seriously.
Okay, let's go to the phones now. And the number is 210-614-8980 if you got a question for our runoff candidates for District 8. And Saqib, I don't know if I have your name right. I apologize, but go ahead with your question.
I have a question about water sourcing for the next 20 years. We recently had a desalination plant invested in by the city, so I want to know what the candidates plan is going forward for the next 20 years with the coming population.
All right, thank you for that question. And so, Manny Pelias, do you want to give us your answer first?
So, we live in a region where we've been experiencing historic water shortages, number one. Number two, water is not getting any cheaper. And number three, there's no expert out there who actually follows these things that can look you straight in the face and tell you that they know exactly how much water we're going to have next year, or for that matter, next week. That's hugely problematic for utilities that need to provide water to this region. So what I believe in is that desalination is an important technology upon which we need to rely, but also we need to rely upon our aquifer and water catchment and this pipeline deal. Some people don't like it. Other people do. Like transportation, where we need to have multimodality, we need to have diversity in our water sourcing portfolio as well. One of these days, desalination will be ready for us to be able to rely exclusively on it, but there's also no expert out there that can tell you that right now we've got the bandwidth to be able to do that.
Now, Cynthia Brehm, where were you on San Antonio's water resources?
Well, I know that they have the aquifer storage recovery unit in Southwest Bexar County, and they are harvesting water. That's something that can help offset the drought periods that we have in the summertime. And then we also can look at getting water from other areas. One of the things that I thought would be a good idea would be to use a Ogallala, which is the largest water reservoir in the entire Northwest continent. of the United States, and it runs from the Permian Basin all the way up to Michigan, the state of Michigan. It's a natural water reservoir. So my question was, why do we have to go, you know, to just a 4-square-mile area in Caldwell, Texas, to get water when there's another resource? If you don't know where the Permian Basin is at, that's the Midland-Odessa area going northward. Why not get water from there? It's the same thing. It's larger.
Okay, then. Let's get another caller on the air, Jen. And hi, Jen. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey, David. Thanks for taking my call. I'm wondering if both of the candidates could please comment on how the recent legislation coming from the state legislator, like the bathroom bill and the sanctuary studies bill, is going to affect our ability as a city to attract a younger workforce, more jobs for the tech sector, type of thing that we've really been looking to do as a city. Seems to me that those types of jobs tend to gravitate more toward where those types of people want to live, and a lot of times that's more cities with more liberal values than not.
Okay, Jen, thank you for the question. Cynthia Brim.
Well, I think instead of, you know, being reactive and trying to be all things to all men, I think we need to focus on our resources, the things that we have here in San Antonio. As I mentioned earlier, we're a very unique city. We're the only city in the entire United States that has two major U.S. highways flowing through it. We have great weather. We have great culture, a lot of history here. And so I think we need to focus on that as opposed to, you know, Sanctuary City or the bathroom bill, you know, inhibiting us. In North Carolina, it didn't impact them when they enforced the bathroom bill there.
It didn't impact them?
It didn't, no.
Okay.
It did not. And so I think we need to be focused on what we have here as a city and assets and the things we have to offer as opposed to little things like that.
All right, then. So Manny Pelias.
Sure. I serve on the executive committee of the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. I've dedicated my career to economic development. We spend a lot of time looking at issues just like this. And one of the things that objective economists will tell you is that these things do have a very serious economic impact. And the ripple effect will be felt for a long time to come. You know, cities that don't attract economic development, in other words, cities that don't attract new jobs and new workforce, are cities that stagnate and that don't thrive. San Antonio has created a reputation for itself around the country as one of those places that is safe to come and whose spirit of dignity and respect and welcoming folks is alive and well. That's why young millennials choose us. There are lots of other cities out there that need to be looking for the same kinds of folks that we're looking for, and they would be delighted to take some of those huge brains off our hands. And this is a bloody knuckle fight for talent, and doing anything to imperil our ability to attract workforce is wrong.
Okay, another caller we have. The number is 210-614-8980. If you've got a question for our candidates, where they're in the runoff for District 8, Cynthia Brim and Manny Pelias. Jeffrey is on the line. And Jeffrey, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you for having me. My question is, I'm from the Anglo and Hispanic descendant. Everything's going on with all the racism in our area. Now with giving the police the right to check documents and everything, what's your opinions on that?
Can you refine the question? It seemed pretty undefined.
Well, now that the police, you know, and the other authorities are given chance to check documents, you know, San Antonio is an area of great Hispanic Orient, right?
Okay, I got you. So about the sanctuary cities movement. So Manny Pelias,
sure.
So you're first up here. So sanctuary cities, in the sense that they now want local law enforcement to become immigration officers. That's been controversial. Now it's passed by the legislature. What does that mean for you and city council?
Sure.
If you get elected.
First of all, there's no denying that our police force is stressed, right? The there are fewer police officers than we need right now, and that we really need to work on increasing that headcount as the city continues to grow. I've talked to these police officers. They don't want to be immigration officers. They don't have time to go around checking people's papers. It's hard enough to be them. And as crime rates increase, they don't need mandates from the state on how they can do their jobs. They are the experts on how best to do this, number one. Number two, adding one more thing to the long list of making a certain group of people afraid or a certain group of people unwelcome is a thing that we ought not to be wasting our time on. I wish that our state legislature would spend more time on thinking, how can we welcome more people to Texas who can contribute to our economy and make us more diverse and make us more rich and, you know, add to our economic development environment. I'm sad about this bill, but I don't think it's really going to amount to much in San Antonio, since you're not going to get too much police involvement or participation.
So, Cynthia Brim, your response about the sanctuary cities, and if you get elected to city council, what do you think?
Well, I went to the Sanctuary Cities City Hall event that was held at UTSA a few months ago, and according to Chief McManus, he said that their job is to enforce what the city pays them to do, essentially, and that they don't feel like ICE is doing their part in coming and retrieving the people that they do arrest, and they wind up imposing a tax burden on us, the citizens, because we have to house them, we have to feed them, and then they never show up, and then we have all this crime that's going on that's on the rise here in San Antonio. And so they wind up waiting too long and then having to put them back out on the street again. And so they feel like, he felt like, that if ICE was more cooperative, that it'd be easier to do, but they're not being cooperative and they're not doing their job, so they're trying to focus on what they've been called to do from the city.
Okay. I'm sorry, I have to interrupt.
Okay, well, and she's going to get a chance.
Sure.
To wait, I'm going to take a break, and then I have to take this break. When we come back, we'll see where we are on this. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio. We've got the runoff candidates for District 8 in the studio. Manny Pelaez, Cynthia Brim. We were talking about sanctuary cities and about how San Antonio stands in enforcing that when one of these two candidates gets on city council. And Manny, you wanted to address that again, and we'll give Cynthia Brim a chance to reply to that as well.
Sure. I'm really proud, and I'm very, very happy that I get the endorsement of the San Antonio police officers here in San Antonio. One of the reasons I got that endorsement is because I think I convinced them that I know exactly how hard their job is. And I know, you know, the difficulties that they have in doing their day to day. What they're telling me is that they are compliant with federal law. And they are. There's no reason to believe that they're not. Anybody who's telling you they're not is misinformed or trying to misinform you. The other thing people don't understand is that the ICE detainers most frequently happen at the Bexar County Jail, not run by the city or by SAPD. And so really, whether or not sanctuary city things are happening here are more the purview of the county and less the purview of the city. Now, I will tell you that the women and men of the SAPD, they are 100% compliant with federal law, and they would take offense to anybody's suggestion that they're not.
Okay, Cynthia Brim, you have a chance to respond to that.
Well, I just want to respond that it's interesting he says that he got the San Antonio Police Department's endorsement. When I ran for mayor a couple of years ago, they brought all the candidates in and they interviewed them and they made a decision. I never got a phone call or anything, and then he's saying that they endorsed him, so whatever. Back to this, the question about sanctuary cities, I just know what Chief McManus said in that forum. It was recorded, and I am telling you the truth. That's exactly what he said, that they were not showing up, and it made it created a tax burden on the taxpayers unnecessarily because they were slow in coming to retrieve these people that they found out that were illegal aliens.
Okay. All right. Let's go with Hunter, who's on the phone line, and the number is 210-614-8980 if you've got a question for our candidates. Hunter, hi. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you very much for taking my call and my question. I would just like to know, I was reading that California is working on, you know, they're running on about 80% naturally renewable energy resources. So if we're looking towards working with, you know, taking water from other areas and working towards making our rail system, are we looking into any renewable energy for those operations? Thank you.
Okay. All right. So, Cynthia Brim, about renewable energy.
You know, I wish I could answer that question for you, and I can't. I don't know what renewable energies we're looking at towards the future. I'm a big-time recycler. I know you can get energy from that, save money on the taxpayers if we do more of that. So I'd like to see that implemented in the city, getting people to participate with the city's goals. So I'll pass this question off to Mr. Pelaez.
Thanks.
So, okay, Manny Pelaez.
Sure. One of the efforts that I got to work on for a long time, and it's a huge success now, is that Mission Solar, the solar panel manufacturing operation on the south side of Brook City Base. Hundreds of jobs were created because of our willingness to start investing in diverse energy sourcing, particularly in solar. We've also got CPS, and you know, with their 400 megawatt, one of the largest solar operations in the world, operating here in San Antonio and providing energy to thousands upon thousands upon thousands of homes. So with regards to what are we doing, I think we're being very aggressive, and we're world leaders now, leaning forward into exploring how best to bring to bear the savings and the benefits of energy. I've got direct fingerprints on these very successful projects. And again, you know, this is a job interview. And in job interviews, you not only have to know what you're talking about, but prove that you've actually done these things.
All right, I'm going to ask this question. Recently, over the weekend, we saw that New Orleans is taking down quite a number of their Confederate memorials in their city. And people are wondering about San Antonio's Confederate memorials that we have here, monuments to the Confederacy. And they're wondering if San Antonio should have a discussion along those lines, whether it take it down or add to them to add context, or at least have a public conversation about where we are on that. So Manny Pelaez, let me ask go that to you. Where are you on bringing some sort of public discussion about our Confederate memorials?
That's key. To me, it's the public discussion component. I think one of the jobs of a political leader or community leader of any kind is to be willing to have difficult conversations, right? And leadership requires you to listen to all sides and then make a decision informed by those sides. Difficult conversations is the currency with which we trade in the world of political leadership. As far as whether or not a particular memorial should be removed, I think the memorials belong to the community, and it's that community that ought to decide. And so I have just barely scratched the surface of what that one particular issue is. But I will tell you that, one man's memorial is another man's, offensive icon. And so, again, I'm sensitive to both sides, and I think something needs to be very delicately and carefully approached as far as making sure both sides are treated fairly.
Yeah, Cynthia Brim, where do you think about our memorials for the Confederacy? What should be done?
Well, I'm a big proponent of history, preserving history. Whether we like it or not, the story has to be told. And just like no one wants to hear about what the Nazis did, slavery, I mean, it's part of history. And so I think that we need to preserve our history, and we have to work together as a community and determine what exactly that means, and we have to move in that direction. So that's what I feel.
Okay, another caller, Rick. And Rick, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, San Antonio is one of the most economically segregated cities in the United States of America, with over 250,000 people living at or below poverty. Do you two believe that the city has a role in combating economic segregation? And also, do you believe in a living wage in both the public and the private sector? Thank you.
All right, Cynthia Brim, you go first.
I absolutely believe in a living wage. In fact, I had calculated a couple of years ago that in order for a family of four to survive, it would require both parents earning a minimum of $15 an hour. And that would just meet what they need to survive. And so I'm a big proponent of that. And combating poverty, the best way to do that is through education. And so one of the things that I think is unfair is that our property taxes that the state disperses to schools go to primarily the districts from which they came. And I think that it should go into a pot and it should be evenly divided among all the districts, because I think right now the way it is, it's discriminatory that if you live on the south side and you have a lower property value, then you're not going to get as much as the north side. So I think that it should be fair and equally divided.
Okay. And Manny Pelaez?
Sure. We know, by the way, I recognize that voice. Thanks so much, Rick, for calling. Rick was one of our city council candidates who was running for District 6, and a very, very smart man. And this is an issue that he's taken very seriously and led on. So thanks for that, Rick. You know, the gap between haves-nots and haves, as it widens, every sociologist and economist will tell you that it leads to higher crime rates. It leads to worse health. It leads to, other social ills. And so we at City Council would need to be very careful to monitor those unintended consequences of widening that gap. I will tell you, I do support a livable wage, but you know what I support more is a thrivable wage. The ability to not just pay your bills is something that we ought to look at. We need to make sure that we're helping people thrive so that they can send their children to school and so that they can improve their lives and the lives of their loved ones. And so I will fight hard to make sure that we are looking out for the poorest of the poor.
All right, let's go now to our closing comments. Each candidate gets a minute to wrap up their idea, make their final pitch as to why someone in District 8 should support them in this election. And Manny Pelaez, you go first.
Thanks. Politics, these political races and job interviews are very, very similar in three ways. One, you have to prove to the person interviewing you or the voter that you know where you've been. Number two, you got to show them that you know where you are. And number three, that you've got the skills, training, experience, and expertise to get all of us going where we want to be. I've got that. I've got more than just ideas and some research. I've actually got fingerprints on the creation of thousands of jobs. I've quarterbacked billion-dollar projects. I've been asked time and time again by the city and the county to come in and help out with the heavy lifting of putting our arms around difficult problems. And I've got expertise in having the difficult conversations. I've made a living from advocating for homeowners and homeowners associations and nonprofits. And my hope is to take these skills and this experience in leadership and bring it to bear on not only making sure that San Antonio is the city we love, but it continues to be the city that we love.
All right. And now the final comments come from Cynthia Brim.
I bring to the table my experience of 30 years of working with the public I just lost my thought. I don't know why. But anyway, I've worked with the public, with nonprofit organizations, and also in marketing and advertising for over 30 years. I've been the negotiator between the business and the private businesses. And I've successfully done all of these things. I have a proven track record. I want to be that voice of the people that gets to work, that shows up to meetings when they're asked, and puts in the time that is needed. Ron Nuremberg told me it requires a minimum of 80 hours a week. I have no children at home, no distractions, so I'm completely devoted to serving the public and giving them the kind of voice that they desire in city council. And you get to decide who you trust on May 30th through the 6th. Early voting begins, as well as June 10th, and I respectfully ask for your support and your vote. My name is Cynthia Brim. Thank you.
All right, and that was Cynthia Brim. We heard from Manny Pelaez. These are the two candidates that made the runoff for District 8 and for the city council election. Early voting starts on Tuesday, May the 30th, and ends on Tuesday, June the 6th. Election day is Saturday, June 10th. We're going to have other candidates coming up here throughout the week as we figure out who are our next city council members. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is produced by Kim Johnson, Jan Ross Piedad, and David Martin Davies. Management and oversight provided by News Director Shelley Koffler, and production assistance is provided by me, Ruben Garcia. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation and the GAC Health Foundation.